We go to a restaurant on the weekends, it's busy, so they start a waiting list. They start calling out names. They say, Dufresne, party of two. Table ready for Dufresne, party of two. And if no one answers, they'll say the name again. Dufresne, party of two. But then if no one answers, they'll just go right on to the next name. Bush, party of three. Yeah, what happened to the Dufresne? No one seems to give a shit. Who can eat at a time like this? People are missing. You fuckers are selfish. The Dufresnes are in someone's trunk right now with duct tape over their mouth and they're hungry. That's a double whammy. We need help. Bush, search party of three. You can eat once you find the Dufresne. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chuck, too. Thanks.
Oh, shit. Get your drinks. Get your smokes. Get your food. Whatever you got. Get your blow.
Sock you in the windpipe. 99, go to sleep. Get your life right.
Damn, X, what the fuck?
I am intoxicated.
Strangulation is my favorite form of meditation. Wild like a mental patient off his medication. Make a DJ bring it back with no hesitation. Do him like Rudy Ray Moore with my exploitation.
Now let me tell you what you motherfuckers fucking facing.
You better ask about me.
Ask about me.
Put me on your track, this robbery. I'ma go hard on God till I'm gone, bitch. X shooting every single thing up on the top.
What up? Welcome back to another episode of Gritty Knows Best. Hope you're doing all right. Hope you're doing well. Tonight, I'm going to be talking all about anxiety. Everybody's favorite subject, big, bad anxiety. It sucks. And I got inspired to do this episode, well, mostly because I've had a history with anxiety, a bad history with anxiety. I mean, who has a good history with it? Like 7 years ago, I was in a very bad place. A lot of hospital visits, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of anxiety attacks. It was bad, but I got out of it and I'm here today. And I learned a lot of things about anxiety, which I'm going to share with you today. Now, even till this day, my anxiety is still there. I've had a few anxiety attacks over the last couple of years, even after I've come back from that dark place. Even as of late, 2 weeks ago, I had a pretty big, probably my biggest anxiety attack after a long time. And then I had that one like a year ago when I got stuck in an elevator with a bunch of people in the summer. It was hot. It was sweaty. It was horrible. My biggest fear is getting stuck in an elevator. So you can imagine me having an anxiety attack then. So, and I think it's a good time to talk about it because everybody's anxiety is probably sky high right now, especially if you have a history with it like myself. With the current situation going on, everybody's probably having anxiety attacks and just feeling off balance. So today, I'm going to be talking about my struggles with it and, most importantly, how I have chosen to combat it, how I choose to handle it, and keep it away. Little disclaimer before we start, I will not be discussing pharmaceuticals or therapy. Did therapy for about a year, didn't really like it. And pharmaceuticals are really not my style. If I don't gotta take them, I won't. Now, a little Xanax here and there is good for some fun, but long-term use is not for me. So those two things will not be discussed on this episode. I'm gonna be talking about some other tools, some other tactics that got me through, that continue to get me through anxiety and anxiety attacks till this very day. So if that's something you're interested in, let's go. One of the first things, and probably, well, I don't want to say the biggest, but this is a big one. That's what she said. One of the things that gets me through anxiety attacks, even till this day, and especially the last two, the one I just had couple of weeks ago and the one in that awful elevator is taking control of my inner monologue. The inner monologue, everybody has one. It's that voice in your head that tells you, oh shit, I forgot the eggs, or oh, I got to text this person back. We all have it. Sometimes, a lot of times, we just drown it out. It's in the background and it's telling us what to do. It's telling us a lot of stuff. And a lot of times, in my case anyway, that inner monologue can be negative. Very, very negative. But more on that in a little bit. The inner monologue is very important when going through anxiety or a big anxiety attack, because it could be telling you, it tells me, a lot of things that can add fuel to the fire. Oh my God, I'm dying, or oh my God, I'm going crazy. When I first started digging myself out of that dark place all those years ago, I started doing my research on anxiety. And one of the things it said was that a lot of times people end up in the hospital because they're afraid that they're dying or because they're going insane. And looking back, a lot of times that I ended up in the hospital, those two things were going through my head. Either I'm dying of a heart attack, I'm dying of a stroke, or I'm about to check myself in to the loony bin. Now, you may be saying that I should be checking myself in there anyway, but that's besides the point, okay? Needless to say, I have not died, and I have not gone insane. Well, again, that is to be determined, but generally not. But those are the two things that used to really go through my head. And even till this day, I can catch it. I can catch it, which is the important part, is catching it. But in that elevator, when I got stuck in there for a couple of, maybe about 15, 30 minutes with everybody, and it's hot and it's packed, you know, in my head, it was like, oh, you're going to die. This is it. It's over. You know, but it's not the truth. And that's what you need to grasp, is that this internal monologue is not telling you the truth. It's important to catch it right where it is, hear what it's saying, and then flip it on its ass, which is what I learned to do over the years. It's something I've cultivated as I've been cultivating my mindfulness skills, is hearing that voice and then going, oh no, this is not true. I need to change this thought. I need to change this idea. I need to change this narrative right now, because it's negative and it's either not getting me anywhere or it's making it worse, right? So it's important, as you get attacked, to sit down or pace around the room, as I choose to do, and think, okay, like, the benefit of having so many anxiety attacks is after a while you realize it's just an anxiety attack. So at this point in my life, I'm able to separate myself, to make that little space in my brain and go, oh, okay, this is just an anxiety attack. And you know what? It's going to pass. I've been there before. I'm not going to go to the hospital. I'm not going to call my friend. I'm not going to do anything drastic right now. I'm just going to really sit here or pace around and remember that this has happened before. This is just an anxiety attack. Back in the day, again, hospital visits, I'd call my friends and panic on the phone, a lot of stuff, a lot of sleepless nights. But now I know what's going on. You know, so I take control of that narrative and I go, you know what? You're good. You're fine, baby. I switch the narrative in my head as soon as possible. And I go, you're not dying. You're not going insane. This is just an anxiety attack. You need to chill out. This is going to be over. This is going to pass. You've been through this before. You say whatever you got to say to chill the fuck out. Whatever you got to say to yourself. Oh, you're acting like a bitch right now. Chill. Whatever I got to say. Sometimes I'll be sitting there and I'll start to feel the wave of anxiety come over and I'll be like, just shut the fuck up. You're good. You're good. You're good. Whatever the positive side of you, you know, has to say to get you to calm down, say it. Mine is a little more rough. So I'm like, hey, bitch, relax. You're good. Don't freak out. Chill out. And sometimes I got to be nice. If it's a really, really bad one like the other time, I'm like, all right, chill out. You're good. Lay down. In a couple of minutes, this is going to pass, which is another point. Once you get a hold of this voice, which you should be listening to and you should be steering in your daily life regardless, but especially during these attacks, especially during your most vulnerable moments in an anxiety attack or in your daily life, you should be telling yourself that it's going to pass. This big, bad wave of anxiety, whatever the symptom is, it's going to pass. And you need to remind yourself of that. I've had so many bad symptoms. The classic, chest is, you're feeling tight, your heart's beating, you know, you feel like you're about to die, maybe you're sweating, maybe you're cold. There's been so many, lightheaded, dizziness. I've had so many anxiety attacks. I've had so many symptoms on trains, on planes, at work, at home alone, at parties. I've had so many awful symptoms that that led me to believe it wasn't an anxiety attack. I thought I was having a stroke, but again, it's just an anxiety attack. So that is something, you know, I try to tell myself during these really bad ones is it's going to be okay. It's going to pass. Just like everything in life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it eventually passes. And what I've learned, especially as of late, like this one I've really been practicing the last few is don't fight it. Because if you fight it, it's just gonna make it worse. Now my job is to accept this attack. Say, okay, this wave's gonna come, it's gonna feel like shit, my chest is gonna feel tight, I'm gonna feel dizzy, I'm gonna feel like I'm dying. But I need to relax and accept it. Because fighting it is going to waste your energy, make yourself crazy, and it's unnecessary. Right? Like, as I get older, I just learn to accept the anxiety attacks, sit there, you know, your shoulders are probably up, your teeth are probably clenched, whatever you do. However, everybody's is a little different. Maybe your fists are clenched, you know, you're holding your chest. Now, especially the last one, while my head is going on, my head is saying 1,000 things a minute, I'm dying, and this is that, I'm dying, oh my God, I'm going insane, this is the worst thing ever, I can't believe that I put myself in this situation again, I can't believe this and that happened, you know, my I'm all clenched up. Right there is when it's time to just relax. Lower your shoulders down. Take a deep breath. Realize it's just an attack. Realize it's going to go away soon. And the more you just relax into it, let it happen, let the wave do its thing, it's going to be over. When I was in that elevator, yo, that was the fucking worst. Again, my biggest fear is happening. Not only by myself, I never wanted to get stuck in an elevator, but now I got to do it with 50 other people, it's boiling hot. What am I going to do? I have nothing else to do but relax and calm down. It's counterintuitive. It's the hardest thing to do. But it was a good lesson. I thank God for that lesson. You know, I never want to do it again. But it was a good experience for me to practice this and cultivate this. I lost my shit in there a little bit at the end, but I did relax. The other night, I did do my best and I relaxed, because fighting it is going to get you nowhere. Getting wound up is going to get you nowhere. You're getting anxious about being anxious. You're getting anxious about something that's not going to happen. And that's the thing. Most of the stuff in your life, most of the stuff in my life, at least, I don't want to say your life. Most of the stuff in my life, at least, that I've panicked over, that has given me these crazy anxiety attacks, have never happened. We create these horror stories in our head. We create these horrible, catastrophic situations. I have a bad habit of catastrophizing, I think it's called. I just learned that phrase the other week. Catastrophizing I don't know what it is. I, at least, have a bad habit of blowing things up, making things bigger and worse than they are. This is going to be the worst thing ever. You know, this is the end of the world. Sitting here right now in front of this microphone talking to you, none of that shit has happened. Most of that stuff has not happened. So I've learned, at least, to switch my focus in those moments and in my life on what I can change, what I can do right now, which is, again, sometimes it's just relaxing and being in the moment and letting the anxiety, you know, wash over you. Maybe it's counteracting that negative voice and going, I'm going to focus on the fact that I know this is an anxiety attack. I'm going to focus on the fact that tomorrow I got, you know, I'm going to go hang out with my friends and this is going to be over soon. And, you know, I got work in the morning. I don't have time to panic all night. Whatever it is, it's good to shift the focus to what's going on right now. And listen, especially during this time right now, a lot of people, everybody is dealing with things that are actually happening. Of course, we have a tendency to blow things up and create these horror stories. But the truth is, sometimes we have anxiety attacks about things that are going on right now. Sometimes we walk around, you know, throughout the day with our shoulders up in fear of something that is real. You know, something that already happened, something that could possibly happen, a real threat. And there's not much I can say about that because everyone's is personal. Everybody's threat is personal. Everybody's situation is different. The one thing I can say about that I've learned is I focus on what I can. Whatever I can do in that situation. In the elevator, I couldn't do shit but relax because I was only going to make it worse. Sometimes there is things to do about it, whether it's one phone call you got to make, whether it's get a good night's sleep. There's always something I can do to better that situation, regardless of how bad it is. If it's out of my control, I need to focus on what I can control. So that's the first point, getting your head right. The monologue, stop catastrophizing, all that stuff, that is something that really, really helped me out. I remember at a certain point of my many anxiety attacks over those years, this was right out of high school when I really was messed up. Dude, I was in a bad spot. And a lot of times I would call my friends and call my mom and she'd take me to the hospital or whatever. At a certain point, again, I remembered. I had to cultivate this. And I said, fuck that. I'm not calling nobody. I'm not going to the hospital. If I'm dying, I'm dying, whatever. At a certain point, I had to tell myself, you got to handle this yourself because nobody's going to be here forever. You need to handle this. And this is the skill that I have that I've built over the last couple of years is controlling that as much as possible, as much as possible. The other thing I try to remember, the other thing that helps me out with this is taking care of myself. Pretty freaking obvious, right? Oh, you got to take care of yourself, of course. But that's what I wasn't doing all those years ago. And that's why I got into that situation because I was doing everything wrong. I was doing absolutely everything wrong and not taking care of myself at all. And I really started getting better once I started becoming disciplined with my diet, with my sleep, with my intake of caffeine and everything that I knew was bad for me. You know, once I started really becoming mindful of that, that's when the change really came. And that's why I had the attack the other night, because it was a perfect storm. I had a shitload of caffeine, more than I've ever had. Just came off of doing a 4-hour podcast, wasn't really eating, wasn't really sleeping right. So I got what I got, and I had to deal with the effects of that. The thing is, you got to know what triggers you. You got to know what gets you to the point of having these things, whether it's the thoughts, the food, the sleep, whatever it is, you got to know what it is that gets you there so you don't get there, so you don't go over the edge. I have a horrible track record of going over the edge. Even to this day, even after all the things I've learned, I slip up, I mess up. That night I slipped up, I messed up, and I've been paying the price for it as of late. Again, having the attacks, some of the scariest ones are when I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't breathe and I don't really know what's going on. I'm like delirious. I used to get those a lot and those have been coming back as of late. So I know that I really got to get my shit together now. So I got to take care of myself. Along with taking care of yourself, I have this point here. You are what you eat. I am what I eat. You are what you consume. Of course, diet is very important, but I'm not really going to talk about diet too much here. What I am going to talk about is consumption in every single way. What am I consuming? What am I allowing into my life? I am what I consume with my eyes, with my ears, What energy am I consuming? Like, what media am I allowing into my life? What is my timeline on Instagram look like? On Twitter look like? What is your timeline on Facebook look like? How much news are you watching? Because let me tell you, at least to me, the news, mainstream media is designed to polarize you. It's designed to get you to watch. It's designed to incite a reaction out of you. That's what it's made for. So obviously, it's not going to be good. It's not good to inundate ourselves with this type of media. That's going to make us sad. That's going to make us angry. That's going to make us frustrated because all it's telling us is negative shit. So I try and watch what I allow on my timeline. You know, they have this cool feature on social media now, which is you click on a post and you go, I don't want to see this shit again. So if it's something disturbing, if it's something that triggers you, you say that you don't want to see it. I don't allow shit on my timeline anymore that I don't want to see. If it's something I don't want, it ain't going to be on there. And I don't really watch the news like that. I don't watch mainstream TV like that. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be informed. Of course, you should be informed. But again, the news is designed to incite a reaction out of you. The headlines, the way they structure shit, you know, they it's designed to make you off balance, off center, and you don't want to be like that. And then you're going to go on social media, you're going to see everybody talking about something negative, you're going to see a bad video, something that's going to fuck you up, and that stuff sticks with you. Even music and movies, if you're constantly taking in negative imagery, negative thoughts, negative sounds, what do you think is going to happen? And that was one of my problems back in the day as well when I was really going through it, is everything I was taking in was making me frustrated, was making me sad, was making me angry, was making me think about certain things that, you know, was making me think certain ways that I shouldn't have been thinking. I wasn't really taking in any positive messages or positive imagery. I wasn't in control of what I was absorbing in every single way. It may sound crazy, I don't know, but that's how I see it. So I try and watch what I'm watching, what I'm listening to. It's my choice. It's up to me. Like I said before, it's your choice at the end of the day what to think. Are you going to think that you're dying and you're having or you're going to go insane, or are you going to choose the other thought that, okay, I know this is an anxiety attack. I know that I'm not going to be, that I know that nothing really bad is going to happen, that this is going to be over. So in this case, it's the same thing with us, with me. Am I going to choose to indulge in this? Am I going to choose to constantly feed into these negative narratives? Am I going to constantly take in all this negativity? Or am I going to choose the opposite? Am I going to be in control of what's coming in? Am I going to pick a song? Am I going to listen to 1,000 songs that make me want to cry and shake in the corner? Or am I going to listen to some songs that make me think I'm the baddest motherfucker in the room? That's one of the reasons I played what I played in the beginning. I played a comedy clip. I played a song that I really liked that gets me hyped, that I listen to in the morning when I'm drinking coffee and I'm getting ready for the day. Makes me feel like El Jefe. It makes me feel like the boss, which I am, which you are too. And you need to be reminded of that. You need to be reminded that there's good things out there. You need to take control of what you're looking at, what you're watching. Is it inspiring you? Is it making you laugh? Because let me tell you, if you let the media dictate it, it ain't going to be that great. Of course, they add a little bit here and there, but on the regular, your whole day should not be filled with constant politics and somebody else's agenda. You know, so my timeline is stuff that makes me laugh, stuff that inspires me, and I try and get my news from unbiased sources. Again, it's hard, but you do what you can. You do your best. You do your best in all these situations. You do your best with your eating. I try and do my best with my eating. I've changed it over the years, but obviously, you know, especially as of late, especially with what's going on, my diet has been off the fucking rails. Today was pretty good. Today I did pretty much eat healthy. But every day is different. You take it day by day. It's up to me if I'm eating, if I'm shoving a bunch of carrots in my mouth, or if I'm shoving a bunch of carrot cake in my mouth. It's up to me. It's about moderation too. You know, I'm not demonizing anything. I'm trying not to demonize anything here. I'm not saying carrot cake is bad. I fucking love carrot cake. Had it the other day. But you should be definitely eating more carrots than carrot cake. You should be eating more of the good stuff than the bad stuff. It's all about moderation here. And I preach moderation on my show a lot because I need it the most. I can get sucked in the shit and just become addicted to it and just go down a whole road with it. One thing I did want to talk about with food, though, because like I said, I'm not going to really talk about food. It's pretty obvious what you got to do with food. But one interesting thing I did want to talk about was meat. Now, I am not a vegan. I am not a vegetarian. But as time goes on, I am becoming a little more conscious of the meat I'm eating and how much of the meat I'm eating. Like I was talking about with the consumption of fear and sadness and all that stuff. You know, when you take in that type of energy from the media, you're gonna take it in. You're gonna absorb it, and it's gonna become a part of you, and you might not even know where it's coming from. Well, there is this theory with meat, well, with mass-produced meat, that when you get this meat in a mass-produced way, you are eating fear, they say, because this animal, this cow, this chicken, this turkey is living in horrible conditions. And they're right before they're slaughtered, they are scared shitless. And when they are scared shitless, they are said to release a fear hormone in their body, which I don't know the name of because I did not look it up before the podcast. I don't know why. But they are said to release this hormone in their body. And when they get killed, when they get processed and packed, that becomes a part of them. And then when you eat that, you're eating that. You're eating the fear, as crazy as it sounds, right? But I do remember at my worst, or right before my worst, I know that I was eating a lot of cheap red meat. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it doesn't. I had beef the other day from the Chinese place twice last week. Am I saying that all meat is bad? No. I am, as I get older, I'm trying to stay away from the mass-produced regular meat. You know, I try to get the grass-fed stuff, and I even try to go days without eating meat. Am I going to become a vegan or vegetarian? I can't tell you what I'm going to do tomorrow. All I know is today, I liked it. I like it, and I think it has a place. I think meat has a place in our diet, so I don't want to demonize it again. I don't want to say that it's not, it shouldn't be consumed, but I will say that the cheap meat should be eaten in moderation, or taken out of your diet entirely if you can, because to me, it just made some sense to me, as crazy as it sounds, that maybe around that time, I was just taking in that fear from the cow over and over and over. I mean, I was eating that cheap-ass steak all day, all night. I don't know how I did it, but I was. So that's just a little anecdote I thought was interesting about meat. So do with it what you will. Do what you will with all of this information. You know, I'm putting this out there because not to look like some type of guru or something, not to look like I'm better than you or like I know more. This is just what I've learned over the last couple of years. And I want to put this out there because I remember when I was really in a bad situation, when I was fucked up, I was looking for information. I was looking for help. And this is what has helped me. So if this information can help you or anybody else at all, then that's the goal with this. Like I said before, I am the most reckless person I know. Or one of the most reckless people I know, not the most. So I'm not trying to be Tony Robbins, or I'm not trying to be any of these people that I, you know, look up to. I'm just trying to help in any way, shape, or form with what I've learned over the last couple of years. So don't, I'm not a fucking role model. All right. I am definitely not a role model. Before we wrap this up, I did want to talk about something that's been rolling around in my head for the last couple of days. A little thought that's been coming up. Talking about the internal monologue again, I have been under attack the last couple of days with this thought. You can't change. You're a piece of shit. There's no fucking way you're going to do this. There's no fucking way you're going to do that. You can't do that. You're always going to be the same. You're a fucking asshole. You're a piece of shit. All right? You're never going to change. You're not good. You're no fucking good. I've been attacked with thoughts like that. And yesterday was a really, really bad day for that. I was just in such a bad headspace with negative thoughts. Mostly telling me that I'm a piece of shit. That, you know, my past is basically going to be my future. I won't do anything. I can't do anything. The changes I'm looking to implement are impossible. And that sucks. I tried to do my best yesterday when I was going through that. I took that energy. I cleaned my room. I went and played some video games just to kind of chill the hell out. You know, just take that energy and go somewhere and not try and sit there and think on this too much. And because I know it's bullshit, but it can be scary. It can be stressful. It can really get to you if you let it. These thoughts, especially that one, that you can't change your current situation, that you can't change who you are or a certain aspect of yourself. And I just wanted to say for anybody that needed to hear this is that's bullshit. That idea, that notion, that narrative that you can't change, that it's over for you, you're too old or you're too young, too broke, bullshit. Why is it bullshit? How do I know it's bullshit? Because I've been there and done it already. I've made changes, and that's what I thought about today, you know, after the storm settled down, is that I've made change already. So who the fuck are you to say that? What validity does that have? If I've made positive changes before, like I said, then why is it not possible for me to do it again? Just because right now I'm feeling like shit. Just because right now I've fallen off the path a little bit. Just because right now I haven't been eating as healthy. Right now I'm indulging too much in certain things. Right now I'm staying up too late. Right now I'm doing all the wrong shit. Doesn't mean I can't make a 180 again, which I've already fucking done. And most likely you've already done it too. In a certain part of your life, at a certain time. And if you haven't done it, don't worry about it. You could do it. Trust me. I am not the same person I was when I was going through that stuff 7 years ago. And, you know, the voice, the negative voice will tell me, that was then. This is now. You can't do that shit again. Uh-uh. You already had your time. That's the best it's going to get. That was the best it was going to get. Remember all the good times you had? It's not going to get better. You're done. This is it. That was your best work. That was your best song. That was your best job. You were your best then. Piece of shit now. That's wrong. Dead wrong. Again, because I've done it before. There was a time where I didn't meditate. Next thing you know, 3 years later, I've been meditating for two, 3 years. There was a time where I didn't drink any water, eat any healthy food. 7 years later, ate a lot of healthy food, drank a lot of water. There was a time where I was just constantly playing video games. Now I can play 3 hours a week. There was a time where I was afraid to leave the house because of my anxiety, afraid because I thought I was going to have another one on the train or I thought I couldn't go to work because I was going to have one at work and it was going to be embarrassing. Had a lot of jobs since then. Okay? The point is, that thought is bullshit. And I really, you know, it just really gets me because, you know, when I'm under that attack, it feels real. It feels real, like, yeah, you know, it sucks, man. Like, I'm never, yeah, that was my best job, or that was my best girlfriend. That was my best friend, and now I'm not going to find anybody cool like that again, and they fucked me over. I'm never going to make that much money again. I'm never going to write that good of a story again. Never going to have that good of a moment again. It feels real when you're in it, right? For sure. But that's why I said I had to get control of it. Go clean my room. Go throw away old shit to let the new come in. It sucks to think that way. And I don't want you to think that way. The reason I'm making this is because I do not want you or anybody else to feel the way I used to feel or feel the way I feel sometimes as of late. I don't want any of you to be walking around with shame and guilt about your past and think that you can't change it now. Please don't. I mean, I've made positive changes, but who the fuck am I? Go look at somebody else that you can admire. Go look for somebody for a real role model and see what they've done. Whatever you want to do, you can fucking do it. It's going to be hard, probably. It's going to take baby steps, which I don't like. I don't like baby steps. Like I said, I'm reckless. I'm all over the place. I like shit done today. That's not how it works sometimes. A baby step can go a long way, you know, and I can get down on myself and we can all get down on ourselves if things aren't going fast enough. Hell yeah, I want shit to go fast. I ride my bike fast. I fucking talk fast. I drink my coffee fast. So I want change fast. I want growth fast. I want results fast. But sometimes it don't work like that. Sometimes you just gotta go to A and go to B and go to C. As much as that sucks. You know, as much as it sucks. But I don't want you walking around with the notion in your head that you can't change because of what your past was, because of who you are in this moment. Because you don't know something doesn't mean you can't know it in 20 minutes or tomorrow or next year. Because you haven't done something now doesn't mean you can't do it, okay? So just don't be too hard on yourself and just know that it's possible. All right, enough of my little self-help seminar here. On to a little update real quick. Just so you know, I have been putting glue on my hands, letting it dry, and I have been peeling it off like I said I would do on my previous episode called Guilty Pleasures. I mean, that may not make sense unless you've heard that episode, so it would be in your best interest to go back and listen to that. On that episode, me and Dre discussed some guilty pleasures, some odd, strange guilty pleasures of mine, as well as some strange guilty pleasures of my friends, my family, and some of my supporters, as well as some weird ones from the internet. So if that's something you're interested in, go check that out. It's the last episode. It should be episode number 8. I probably said some things on there I shouldn't have said, but hey, it was a lot of fun to do. And like I said, I've been putting the glue on my hands, ripping it off like I used to do when I was a kid. Just something interesting I wanted to try to see if it was still fun. And yes, it was still very fun. So thank you for listening. Let me know if you liked this episode. Let me know if anything I said helped you at all. Hit me up at It's Gritty Bitch on Instagram. Let me know if you liked this episode. Let me know if you hated it. Maybe I sounded crazy. Whatever you thought, let me know. I love being on Instagram, interacting with people. So hit me up, baby. Now, thanks for listening. Make sure you take care of yourself. I'm out of here. Peace and love. See you next time.